the supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most High. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and so welcome to your program. Today is a special from IRIB English Radio. What is the topic of today's episode? It's about unity in diversity. Today, Friday, is the 15th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Anfal, verse 46.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ.
And obey Allah and His Messenger, and do not dispute and thus lose courage, and then your strength would depart. And be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
God introduces the Prophet as the axis of practical unity for Muslims. This axis includes all deeds and words of the Prophet, who, as the history of Islam testifies, prevented discord and created unity among Muslims in order to strengthen the political and social basis of the Ummah. The Prophet, after migrating to Medina from Mecca, entered into treaties and social contracts, which are among the most evident ways of fostering unity. The first accord was concluded between the Holy Prophet and the tribes of Medina. These treaties called for negation of ethnic and tribal tendencies.
Sallallahu ala Taha, khayri la khalqi wa ahlaha. Sallallahu ala Taha, khayri la khalqi wa ahlaha. Khayrul khalqi huwa al-hadi, nurul kawni bihi badi. عَمَّ النَّاسَ بِإِرْشَادِي أَزْكَى الْخَلْقِ وَأَرْضَاهَا صلى الله على طه خير الخلق وأحلاها صلى الله على طه خير الخلق وأحلاها.
Unity in diversity. Division, differences, and disputes are the cause of the Ummah's defeat, as Allah says in the Holy Quran, chapter Al-Anfal, verse 46. And obey Allah and His Messenger, and do not dispute with one another, lest you lose courage and your strength departs. And be patient, surely Allah is with those who are as-sabirun, the patient. Unity and coming together are among the basic principles of Islam, and there are many aspects of unity in Islam, such as one Lord, one Book, one Prophet, one religion, and one Qibla, one Ummah. Allah addresses the Ummah as one group in all rulings to indicate that they are one Ummah, like one body. There is no difference between them. The commands and prohibitions are addressed to all.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astayn. The awesome problems, and there are some obstacles in this regard. One of them is that some people may think that, may imagine that what might be the reasons for coming up with such kind of Islamic integration. Throughout Islamic history, we find that there have been many major thinkers who invited all Muslims to respect each other. We find that the infallible Imams, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, likewise the fourth infallible Imam, Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad alayhi salam, had many disciples, and disciples of these infallible Imams are regarded among the noteworthy thinkers of Sunni Islam. And the Sunni version of Islam. And at the same time, we find that in this connection, even, for example, if we want to take a lesson from the Indian context, we find that over there in India, there have been many Muslims who contributed to the way of achieving Islamic unity. And, for example, some of them came up with founding a very important and influential schools of influential academic institutes. In this regard, let me point to, for example, the life of Sayyid Ahmed Khan of India, who founded the Aligarh Islamic University in Aligarh, India. Or, for example, we find that in Egypt, some people came up with founding Al-Azhar University. I mean, and in these two important academic settings and academic institutes, one in Egypt and the other one in India, we find that all people may go there in order to receive the education. I mean, without any constraint, without any problem, or without any discrimination.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Unity through giving to charity. The parable of the believers in their affection, mercy, and compassion for each other is that of a body. When any limb aches, the whole body reacts with sleeplessness and fever. The love that the Muslim harbors in his heart should be so sincere that it makes him give toward those in difficulty. He feels the ache of another person, and he reacts in the kindest of ways. This brings forth affections, mercy, and compassion naturally towards others. In a tough world which holds obstacles of conflict, natural disasters, and millions of less fortunate people, it is vital we spread love to unite in goodness. It is in these times that Allah has commanded us to help those who are in desperate need. It is in these times where we can unite to uplift others and bring good to the world. Through unity, we can make a huge difference.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say.
Let's learn to criticize without hurting. Why? Because that is among the things we can do to develop a culture of Muslim unity. The way some Muslims criticize each other, you think they were talking to an Islam Bashar instead of a fellow brother or sister. This type of ignorant behavior is a sure way to create anger, hurt, and dissension. It is not rude towards unity. We must learn the adab or ethic of criticism, whether it is toward individual Muslims or our leaders. Knowing and implementing this will not only help solve problems in a particular manner, but it will also lead to a greater sense of brother and sisterhood in the community. If you feel that your criticism of someone in the past was rude or hurtful, please go back and apologize to them. Before you do that, pray for that brother or sister, since the Prophet has said that dua increases love between people.
This is also the season and the time of paying your zakat. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. Because there are some friends community members, brothers and sisters who lost their jobs. They were laid off by their companies. They have rents, they have mortgages, they have bills. And you know, many of these companies, they have no mercy. The insurance company in America, the insurance business has no mercy. If you pick up the phone and tell them, listen, I'm not driving my car, so can you lessen my bill? They say no. Airline companies have no mercy. You know, many people, when their flights were canceled by the airlines themselves, they did not give refund to the people. They said, we give you credit for 1 year. But people need this money. People now need every single penny of their money because many of them have no jobs. Within 2 weeks, we had 3 million unemployed people in America. So this is the time where you pay your dues, your zakat, your khums, your huquq. في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم. God says, portion of my money is not for me. I have to distribute that now. Now is the time to see who lost his job, who's not working, who's really in need for food to pay the bills, the essentials, and give that money to him in an honorable way, in a nice way. With respect, don't hurt their dignity. When you give, give to them and say thank you. Thank you. I'm not doing enough for you.
Brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, I congratulate the Week of Unity to all brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. Have a nice time.
Mustafa, anta al-Nabi al-Amin wa Sayyid al-Mursaleen rahmatan lil-alamin jitt bil-haq al-yaqeen. سيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين.
Food for thought.
Everyone, and on the threshold of the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, we present you an interesting saying from the Messenger of Mercy regarding respect towards parents. Every righteous child who casts a look of mercy and affection upon his parents shall be granted, for every look of his, rewards equivalent to that of an accepted Hajj.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala Ahli Baytihi at-Tayyibin at-Tahirin al-Ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We are still in the Week of Unity, and as we mentioned previously, the Week of Unity as termed by the great contemporary mystic of our time, Imam al-Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayh, that is located or situated between the two reported historical birth dates of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And it's important for us in this week, and not only in this week, obviously, but in this week to increase our efforts that in the weeks that are not termed the Week of Unity, we are actually able to enact certain ideas or principles that we have formulated in this week. This is important, that this week is not only a week, oh, we have unity now, and then, okay, next week, you know, the unity goes, we know. One of the things could be that we create a unity in this week, and then in the weeks to come, it is strengthened, it is enhanced until the next year, and so on and so forth. It is something that it grows and grows and strengthened and strengthened. This is important. And therefore we see that one of the champions of unity within the Islamic Ummah and the history of Islam itself is the first Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam. And obviously the history is quite clear on what the Imam did during the particular early period of the Islamic Ummah. The Imam alayhi salam has a very beautiful tradition, and this tradition goes, you know, so-called hand in hand with the tradition we mentioned in one of our previous episodes that talks about, you know, this hatred, dislike, and enmity that a person may have with somebody else, and that kind of, you know, severs and cuts and destroys the religion of the people, both of them. Right? Or because there's a mutual thing there. But here the Imam alayhi salam is talking about reconciliation and the importance of reconciliation, what is known as this islah, this kind of, you know, reforming the situation that has occurred between these two people. And the Imam alayhi salam, you know, compares it to other acts of worship that we see as being far greater than this act of, you know, being together, being united, and so on and so forth. For one of the things that we feel is that, okay, you know, this unity is too political. You know, we'll just stay and we'll pray our salah, we'll do our 5 daily prayers, we'll fast in the holy month of Ramadan, and that's it. We'll maybe pay our zakat and our khums, and, you know, that's it. We'll go in our own way. No, the Imam doesn't say that. The Imam speaks about the importance of community, the importance of being together, the importance of there being, you know, an ease amongst the society. The Imam says that the reconciliation between two people is better than all the salah and all the prayers and all the fastings that you will do. Now the Imam doesn't just say the fasting of the 5 days, no, all the fasting or all the prayers. This reconciliation and the result of it being the reformation of society is far more important and far greater and far more worthy than the salah and the prayers that you will do, all of them, and the fasting that you will do, all of them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be of those who reconcile and reform the Muslim Ummah and not of those who destroy it and bring it down. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. I'm glad to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, the audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. We are going to talk about a famous Quranic reciter, then we're going to listen to a recitation by that famous reciter, and then brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we are going to have some other interesting Quranic parts which are going to be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abdul Nasser Harak. He's a current Egyptian reciter who was born in 1977. He follows the style of Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Qalbash to the extent that sometimes is called the Little Qalbash in Egypt. He has traveled to many countries including Saudi Arabia, Belgium, Thailand, and of course, Islamic Republic of Iran. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Qaf, verses 38 to 44, recited by Abdul Nasser Harak, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy.
Kitabullah, Kitabullah, Kitabullah.
name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And indeed we created the heavens and the earth and all between them in 6 days, and nothing of fatigue touched us. So bear with patience, O Muhammad, all that they say, and glorify the praises of your Lord before the rising of the sun and before its setting. And during a part of the night glorify his praises, and after the prayers. And listen on the day when the caller will call from a near place, the day when they will hear the shout in truth. That will be the day of coming out. Verily, it is we who give life and cause death, and unto us is the final return. On the day that the earth shall be broken off from them, they will come out hastening forth. That will be a gathering quite easy for us.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Qaf, verses 38 to 44, recited by Sheikh Harak. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, in the recited verses, it's interesting that we didn't have any mudud, any kind of mad. We had almost all the other rules of tajweed. We had tarqiq of the letters, tafkhim of certain letters. We had qalqala. We had madulin. We had what else did we have? We had tarqiq of ra.
Yeah, and such a thing rarely occurs.
Yes, not rarely, but. Sometimes we have tarqiq of ra. Most of
no,
the
no,
time
no. I'm talking about the whole issue, that is not having mad and having a lot of other.
Yes, that's right. In these verses, we don't have any mad, any kind of mad. We don't have mad muttasil or munfasil or lazim. In fact, in this whole page of the Quran, if you're reading the Uthman Taha script, you'll notice that there is no mad at all. The mad we mean, madul muttasil, the kind of mads that you have to lengthen more than two vowel counts.
Mm-hmm.
Not the madul tabi'i, the natural, the normal mad. Anyway, so let's go over some of the rules.
Before talking about the rules, it's interesting to talk about the page number.
Page number 520.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
520, yes. Surah Qaf. And the word fasbir, this is the second verse that was recited, verse 39, and we had the word, the phrase actually, fasbir, the first phrase of this verse. Salat has the characteristic of isti'la, okay? And the letters that have the characteristic of isti'la have to be pronounced with tafkhim,
mm-hmm.
with thickness. For example, we have as-salihat, as-sa-sa. We have to pronounce the salat thickly, with a full mouth and the root of the tongue raised.
Right.
Here we have a salat with a sukoon. The level of tafkhim differs depending on the vowel, whether it's sakin, whether it has a fatha or kasra or a dhamma. Whenever sad is sakin, the amount of tafkhim is the second lowest
level.
So, falsbir, how do you apply the second lowest level? The lips should not be involved in
mm-hmm.
applying the tafkhim. They should
be neutral.
Neutral, yes. Neutral position. Falsbir. If you say falsbir, you make the lips around it, that's incorrect.
Actually, you have increased the level of tafkhim this way.
Or if you spread the lips, fas, as if you want to pronounce it like with a kasra, mm-hmm. again, that's incorrect.
Yes.
The ra has tarqiq, the opposite of tafkhim, because the ra is sakin, preceded by a letter with
a kasra.
Okay, in this same verse, we have the word, of course, we don't have time to go over all the rules of tajweed, we're just going to go over some of them. Al-ghurub. The qalqala of the ba was applied very well by Sheikh Harak, because, you know, ba, and whenever we have the letter of qalqala at the end of a letter that we want to stop on that word that
mm-hmm.
has the letter of qalqala at the end, we have to make sure that the qalqala is applied clearly and audibly.
Yes.
And it's, we could easily hear the qalqala. This is called the greater qalqala, because observing it is more difficult, but you have to observe it. So if you say qabla al-ghurub, ghurub, see, you didn't apply the qalqala if you pronounce it that way. Qabla al-ghurub. غروب.
Mm-hmm.
We have to hear the qalqala clearly. Some reciters, they apply the qalqala at the end of words lightly. That's not correct. You
mm-hmm.
have to apply it with enough force so that the qalqala is heard clearly.
And the letter actually is heard clearly.
Yes. And we have another one in verse 40. وَأَدَبَارَ السُّجُودِ. And we had the qalqala in the word adabar as well. This is the lesser qalqala, because it's in the middle of the word, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not at the end. But in as-sujood, it's at the end, so you have to make sure that you pronounce the letter with qalqala, the dal with qalqala.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint. A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are criticizing the movie An Interview with God in this program with our guest speakers in the studio, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Hussein. Sayyid Abdullah, thank you for coming to the studio and assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah and thank you for having me.
Welcome. And Brother Hussein, assalamu alaikum to you and thank you for coming.
Wa alaikum assalam. Glad to be here.
Before we continue our program, let's take a listen to a part of this movie and we'll be back with the criticism.
You traveled 7,000 miles into a war zone, Paul. War changes people. You had to have known a trip like that would have consequences for you and for your family. Or did you think that you'd be different?
I guess I was hoping God would look out for me.
Hoping?
I prayed for my own safety. I prayed God would watch over the soldiers I'd met and bring them home. I prayed my wife would be okay while I was gone. I prayed I didn't do anything stupid. I prayed a lot.
Were your prayers answered?
I don't know. Some, yes. Mostly, no.
You were listening to a part of the movie An Interview with God, and we are criticizing it in this program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. Brother Hussein, in this part, there's the talk about Paul's traveling to a war zone as a journalist, all right? He was praying and hoping that God would look out for himself and his friends. But basically, when you go to a war zone, you are exposed to many fatalities, many casualties, many afflictions, all right? And sometimes, despite the fact that you pray, even if you are a good person, you see things that you're going to be sorry for, all right? And doesn't it tell you that sometimes there is this contradiction to your praying and sometimes it leads to your lack of trust in terms of God's helping you, like answering you back, answering your prayers?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So to answer this question, first we look at the fact that God always does what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It all runs on God's plan. This is the bottom line, right?
Mm-hmm.
But further than that, God also tells you you have a free will, mm-hmm. right? You have to do what you think is right, and whatever you do, you have to face the consequences,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, you praying affects you,
yes,
by giving you hope, right? And God always listens. But the thing is, God listens when God accepts your prayer if the thing is in your, you know, if it affects you positively.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for example, you pray to God that he doesn't kill you, and then you jump off a building. Of course, God gave you the free will to do it, okay? And he's not just going to, you know, give you some magic powers and, you know, make you fly.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, God listens and he accepts if you, you know, if it's good for you or if it's good for the people you are praying for.
Right. Okay. Before me asking Sayyid Abdullah more questions, stay with us. And we're going to take a listen to a part of the movie, An Interview with God. We'll be back.
Why are we here? I heard I was needed, so I came. Simple thank you would suffice.
Why do I deserve your special attention?
Don't you?
So you're here to save me.
Do you need saving?
Doesn't everyone?
Yes.
You were listening to a part of the movie, An Interview with God. In this program, Viewpoint, we are criticizing this movie with Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. Sayyid Abdullah, you know, does God deserve a thank you, a simple thank you, when he sets out to save people, to help people after creating them?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We say in theology, we say one of the ways, like once you get to know the Creator, the first thing you should do is you need to thank him for mm-hmm. giving you life to begin with.
Yes.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you life, and he says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ
mm-hmm.
We created man in the best of forms.
Yes.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you life, creates you in the best of forms, he gives you all the abilities, and he gives you the pleasure and the gift of life. But we are so ignorant ourselves and so pathetic that we get ourselves in what? In hot water, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get ourselves in trouble.
Yes.
And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. So first we need to thank Allah for our existence, just to begin with.
Yes.
You know, even our ulama or the hadith from the imams and the prophet and even the Quran says every morning you wake up, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave you another day. You look at yourself, I have health, I have wealth, I have family, I have this, I have that. All these things require what? Require thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you can deprive it. To depriving me and you of them.
Yes.
So the question is, yes, we do need to be thankful of Allah every time I get myself in trouble and he comes there to save me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just logical that we do that with one another.
Yes.
Yet alone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even, for example, sometimes I get in trouble. Someone, for example, let's say I get into, you know, a debt, and then the guy says, I want my money right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow you come along and say, I can give you that money. I don't need it. Go pay off your debts. Who sent you to me? Allah did, right? Allah
yes.
made it work
mm-hmm.
that you come to me and you save me. So when you go to the doctor, it's not the doctor that cures you, not the pill that cures
mm-hmm.
you. It's Allah that cures you.
Exactly.
So obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires our thanks in every moment of our life.
Yes. Brother Hussein, if Allah or God deserves and requires our a simple thank you,
mm-hmm.
or appreciation on the part of human beings, why is it that so few people are among those people who thank God? And we have this in the Holy Quran too.
وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean why do people...
don't really give the thank you to God.
Okay.
As simple as that.
Yeah, the simple answer is that they don't really realize it. Either most people are, you know, like not really religious, or some of them are atheists. So they don't even believe God exists. But mm-hmm. then we come to the people who believe he exists, and then they're too ignorant to realize that, you know, he deserves to be thanked, because they argue with, you know, I didn't choose to be, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't choose to exist. It's not my fault. So why should I thank someone who brought me here by force, right? But then we go back to the argument that, you know, God created us out of mercy. So we have to thank him, because it is the logical thing to do.
If somebody is in a miserable position or situation, how would you explain that this is mercy?
Yeah, well, that goes back to God's plan. If you believe in God's plan, you believe that...
If somebody is born, like, to a very poor family in mm-hmm. poor condition, how would you explain to that?
Yeah, well, okay, in that situation, of course, it's God's plan. He did what he thought is best for that person.
But otherwise, he would have transgressed or something.
But further than that, people who are poor, for example, God created them in that financial situation mm-hmm. because he wants to test them. Okay? And there's a narration, I think, where it says, you know, poor people are, you know, tested way easier or judged way easier mm-hmm. in the hereafter, because they didn't have much to do. I mean, they didn't have much power in this world. So they go to heaven way easier than the people who did have power, mm-hmm. financial power or, you know. So in that situation, God is giving you a mercy. He's giving you a gift.
Yes.
He's giving you poverty so that later on you have a much easier test.
Okay. Before me asking you a question about salvation, let's take a listen to a part of the movie and we'll be back talking about it.
And you asked me why I was here.
Right.
So why are you here? Why an interview? I'd like to talk to you about salvation, Paul.
Okay. Good topic. This is progress. Salvation. What do you mean by that?
What do you think I mean by that? Paul, I'm not trying to be difficult, but we should establish what you think it is before we can discuss it, right? Salvation means different things to different people.
Yes, it does. It's very personal.
Well, it is the most personal. In the end, and I mean literally, in the end, there's nothing more personal than salvation.
You are listening to a part of the movie, An Interview with God, in this program, Viewpoint, with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program on IRIB English Radio. Sayyid Abdullah, in this part about salvation, when he asks, why are you here? You are not simply for an interview, because you are a journalist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this question gets nothing or becomes nothing more personal than salvation. And God's answer is, it's very different to different people, all right? And he defines the Christian view of salvation, right? Mm-hmm. Salvation is returning to a state of perfection with the Almighty and yeah. absolution from sin forever. And reunification with God,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you agree with this idea of salvation at all?
Well, it depends what they mean by salvation, because their salvation and our salvation is quite different. Their salvation is that you commit sins and what have you, and then you turn to God and God says, welcome to my kingdom because you came to me. If that's their opinion of salvation, then it's not much of a salvation, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is like, you know, we have the concept of Tawbah, returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that you're constantly with Allah.
Yes.
You see, with the Christianity, that you reunite with Allah.
Yes.
We say now you are constantly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm. except that when you sin, you kind of push yourself away
yes.
from Allah
or get away from
yeah, so you're in distance. When you do Tawbah, as we call it in Arabic, Tawbah in Arabic means a raja, like mm-hmm. you go back to your original place. So you go back to where you were with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I forgive you. This is, you know, if this is salvation that we call Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. Their salvation is quite different. And then he said to him, salvation is at the end. If you recall his words,
yes.
he says, salvation is at the end, which means what? Day of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
That's where salvation comes, which is you and your soul, he said to him. That's the word he said, you and your soul. That's when salvation comes. We have another word for that. We call it intercession. We call it shafa'ah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he himself, he can forgive his servants.
Yes.
He himself does the shafa'ah to them. عنده الشفاعة, as you say, من الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه.
Exactly.
He can either do it himself, or he can give that job, or he can give that
transfer gift. Confer it to the saints.
To the saints, or to even to normal human beings, even the mu'mineen we have revived. Even the mu'min, he does shafa'a to, you know, to people of his own.
Yes.
To, you know, like Rabi'a wa Madar, as the Arab use that, to tribes, because they had too much numbers. So as a mu'min, you yourself, Allah says, "I love you. You were good to me. I'll give you the gift of shafa'a. Do shafa'a."
But to me, this idea, this concept, this definition of the Christian view of salvation is somehow close to or similar to the idea that of happiness that we have in Islam, like the final happiness.
Mm.
So it's like absolution from sin, reunification with the Almighty.
That does not happen by itself. You will not become pure of sin because Allah will make you pure of sin. Mm-hmm. You have to choose. You have to make the choice. You have to repent.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like I said, with the Christianity, you commit whatever sin you want to commit. So you go to the confession box and you say, you know, whatever sin, and then you walk free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no, and the Quran says, "Yubaddilu hasanatihim sayyatihim hasanat." That's one. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, many verses says, you need to change. Mm-hmm. You need, like, he committed so many sins, you need to change them.
Yes.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he heard a person says astaghfirullah, he says to him, "Wow be unto you." Mm-hmm. How do you say astaghfirullah just like that? He says astaghfirullah has seven meanings.
Exactly.
One is that you have to do this, two you have to do that, three you have to do this. And
there are steps to be taken.
Exactly. They require you to work. It's not Allah going to give you a green card. It's okay. There's an urge of salvation. Salvation begins within you. You have to take the process of salvation yourself. Once you reach that, then purity comes in. With the Christianity salvation, no. You know, you God comes to you and he says, "There's my door, come to my kingdom," and you're...
Or if you go to the church and pay...
Yeah. So, like I said, so our idea of salvation, their idea of salvation is quite different.
Yes. Brother was saying, very quickly, God also says in that part that sidestepping several thousand years of disagreement. Mm-hmm. And then Paul answers, "I'm with Jesus." In this term, like when it comes to salvation, I'm with Jesus. This is, he says, because I'm Christian, so I agree with the Christian view of salvation.
Kind of.
Very
yeah.
quickly, please.
Yeah. So basically, Jesus, he died for our sins as humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our as in humans. So in Christianity, it makes no sense for you not to sin, because if you don't sin, then Jesus died for nothing, right?
Mm.
In Christianity, I feel like salvation is effortless. You know, you don't have to do anything, any work. Like,
so you mean it's very much passive?
It's really passive. It has no meaning. It's like a cliche.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Brother Hussein. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah, for your contribution here to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. I hope you enjoyed this program, this critique of the movie An Interview with God, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, so you're God, the one who created everything. What do I tell the people who say you don't exist?
Tell them the world they see is just that. Sometimes that's just the way it looks.
Why do I deserve your special attention?
Don't you?
I'm doing this interview and it's getting kind of weird. If I send you a headshot, could you check it out?
You traveled 7,000 miles into a war zone. All war changes people.
How many times do you want me to apologize?
Look, things happen. And how many times do I have to live through it?
Sarah just left me.
This is about Afghanistan.
No, I think it might be a bigger problem, an older problem.
You are about out of time.
This is IRIB English Radio.